it's like Pharaoh also. God knew their heart. God knew their choices. So He used the appropriate person to do His will. But they did that of their own choice. We looked at Pharaoh where it says God hardened his heart, but everybody skips the part where it says Pharaoh hardened his own heart, and it's in their neutral places where it says, and his heart was hardened. Then it also says the Lord hardened. What is that? That means God saw him hardening his heart and then put the icing on the cake, so to speak. And so no one can blame God for that, and that's why they are better off having a millstone hanged around their neck and cast into the sea. It's a technique to drown a man and keep him at the bottom, and it's well known. Some of you have watched some mob movies, maybe the Mafia.
Yes.
Going to go swimming with the fishes. they would take concrete blocks and chain them to their... This happened. I mean, this is real stuff. And they take them up in New York. What's the name of that? Hudson Bay. And they had people tossed into the bay with blocks chained to their feet. And then they tie them up and gag them and throw them out there. And the only way they would find them is if someone happened to be an eyewitness to it, or somebody, you know, turned on it and told them. And somebody told me that... They've done dredging or excavations in some of these places and found the blocks, the chains, and the skeletons of what's left of the people down there. I don't have any video, but I've been told that. So this is a reference to the here and now, because it's just until the judgment day, and that's when worse is to come. That's right. In Revelation 20:13, it says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Of course, that could be some of the people on the Titanic, some of the people who have been sunk in ships throughout the centuries. I don't know how many, but numerous ships made the trip over here to America in the 18th century to settle and didn't make it. And all those people, and some of the people who were knocked off by the mob are going to be brought up. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. And that will result in going from a watery grave to a fiery, permanent, eternal damnation. These people who were... Now, there are some Christians who were killed that way. They'll be brought up at the rapture. They get to go before us. If it happened right now, they'd go up before us. The dead in Christ rise first. But the wicked who remain, their bodies remain in the ocean, in the sea, or any watery grave, they are in their soul in hell. And there's coming a time where they're going to be reunited with their bodies for the great white throne judgment, only to be cast into a lake of fire. And again, Revelation 20, and they were judged. This is how verse 13 ends in verse 14. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. See, your salvation is not based on your works. The only people judged according to their works for salvation matters are the dead who died without Christ. And they will stand at the great white throne, and guess what? Every single one of them are going to find out their works did not save them. And, I believe, their eternal condition will be affected by their works. There are hotter places in hell for certain people. And I think, you know, you think of people like Hitler and you know, those kind of people, but child abusers and child molesters, all these kids being kidnapped and put into sex traffic, the people responsible for that are going to have the hottest places in hell.
Probably.
And whosoever or whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. No second chances. You must be born again. You must be saved now. After this life, forget it. No second chances. So verse 2 ends by saying, than that he should offend one of these little ones. He'd be better off having a millstone tied around his neck and cast into the sea than to offend one of these little ones. There's no need for me to get any more graphic than I've already by just referring to child abusers, child molesters, child stealers, kidnappers who put these kids into sex traffic. I'm not going to get any. There's no need to. But let me tell you something. It's an ugly, ugly world. And right now, if you do any research, you're going to find out, if you do historical research or if you research what's going on right now, it is a terribly ugly world. We have tried not to be too oppressive with our children, but we've encouraged them and really haven't had to, but you still have to say something. Watch those kids. Amen. You know, don't let those kids out of your sight. You know, when my kids are growing up, we ever went anywhere where it was going to be a crowd, I mean, they glowed in the dark. I had fluorescents in their head that, you know, did this, shoes that light up when they walk. I mean, my kids, I could see them anywhere they went and didn't let them get very far away at any time. You can't even let your kid go to the restroom. There are many stories of a kid going into the restroom by himself and in 10 or 15 minutes coming out having been abused.
Yep.
And it's getting worse. It's just terrible. And I believe that as Jesus is saying this, we can assume that he gestured toward children in the crowd. Because we see the parallel passage where he does. So let's look at Matthew chapter 18 real quick. Matthew 18, verses 1 through 6. Matthew 18, beginning verse 1. I'll read as you turn there. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Verse 2, And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them. Then he says in verse 3, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now that isn't telling you all to become childish. It's talking about your childlike faith. Meaning, you know this is God's word, and if God's word says it, that settles it. Amen? That's the attitude he's talking about. Become as a little child. Verse 4, Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The world says, pride! Every June, the entire month's given over to wickedness and pride. The LGBT pride, all the allies, pride, pride, pride! Even Christians, a bunch of Bible-ignorant dunderheads,
Amen.
Teaching people to be proud.
Right.
Teaching the children, be proud. That's the exact opposite of biblical Christianity. We read in our Sunday school this morning who that is like. It's like Lucifer.
Yep.
If you are all about pride and self, you're a Luciferian. To be a Christian, you're to be humble, selfless, loving God and your neighbor as yourself. Never says love yourself. But what does it say about the end times? The times are come when men shall be lovers of their own selves, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now, there are different extremes to that, but if all you think about all day long is me, I mean, it'd be funny if whatever we're thinking about, every time we think of me or ourselves, it comes out of our mouth. Me. Me. Some people I know would be saying that all day long. Me. 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 Our focus is not to be on me. look in the mirror and say, my focus is not to be on me. Our focus is to be on loving and serving God and loving and serving our neighbor as ourselves. And he says in verse 5, read that with me. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. Our actions toward children are to be receptive. That's what we tell people. We love having children. We love the sound of children. We only ask you to go out if they start screaming and, you know, like a crazy lunatic. And, you know, so loud we can't hear what's going on. That's just being, you know, respectful of others and considerate. But a little, you know, having little kids going, you know, they make all those noises. I like that. I mean, a little noise makes everything kind of come alive, you know. And we should love children. But that's one of the reasons why we'll never have a youth ministry. Youth ministry has been the source of child molestation and abuse to a terrible degree in churches. And the idea that you take your children while you sit in the adult and you throw them in a place with complete strangers. Now see, it used to be different. Used to be everybody knew everybody. And a lot of the time the people in the youth ministry were the parents. But that's not how they're doing it these days. And all the parents go into the Rocks concert and they throw the kid into a room with complete strangers. And it turns out, this kind of makes sense, you know, if you're a pedophile, you're a pervert, your mind's perverted, but you're not stupid, and you know if you want to get your hands on some kids, where do you go? You become something like a school teacher or student assistant in the public schools, but you can also go to the churches because they're willing to throw their kids at you. And now it's getting so bad. Porn is so rampant. You just have to do the percentages. You know, you realize pornography on the internet is the number one market on the internet.
Yeah.
Hundreds of billions of dollars being spent on porn on the internet. Somebody's watching that. And if you do the math, there are an awful lot of Christians who have to be watching that stuff. I mean, professing Christians, and some Christians do get sucked into that. It's a fact. So if you've got to deal with this generation where among the men in the church mostly, because that's who's into porn for the most part, but it's actually growing among women too. That's why you're seeing so many of these women being busted for having sex with their students. You almost find every case they're involved in porn. And it rots the mind, perverts, and children end up being abused. And so, I won't make a judgment on the past generations, but I will tell you now, I believe churches have to start shutting down the youth ministries. And I'll tell you something else, just as a sidelight. Most of these churches in the last 20 years had all their kids all the way up to high school in their little youth meetings and everything, so they don't even know what adult church is about. And that's why adult church today looks like romper room.
Yep.
They don't know what real church is.
Yep.
Sitting with an hymnal and singing songs written 500 years ago. And words? What are all these words? We need 7 words and say it 11 times, swaying side to side. Like we did in kindergarten. That's what's happening to the church today. So you have people who are raised in romper room, don't know what real church is, going now to the rock concerts, and when they have kids, they throw them in a room with a complete stranger so they can be abused. And we're just not going to have anything to do with it. Because I do feel a responsibility as a pastor. And I'm not going to have that happen on my watch. Why? Well, let's read it. Verse 6. Read that with me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Now, if you haven't taken that serious up to this point in your life, you better take it serious now and understand you'd better not abuse children. And you'd better not enable others to abuse children. And as a parent, you have a responsibility. And if you send that kid off to the public schools these days, you are really putting them on the line. And the churches who are throwing their children to complete strangers out in the educational wing or wherever it is, you are really putting it on the line. Because that's the day and age we live. Think of all the people committing such offenses. That's right. First of all, at the great white throne, people said, I just can't see how we're going to amen people being cast in the lake of fire. First of all, let's just talk about the child molesters.
Yeah.
Great white throne, you're going to see that they, you're not going to see the act, but you're going to see them judged and the evidence brought forth that they are guilty of molesting little children and never repented, never were forgiven, never made restitution in any way, shape, or form. See, you won't have a problem with that. Amen. And then everybody else, when all their sin is poured out, it's just going to be such a mess. It's a filthy sewage running in front of that great white throne, one person after the other. Here's the Millstone Club these days. Abortion funders and providers. That includes just about every Democrat you know. And a lot of progressive Republicans. Libertarians. And other assorted isms who vote for and fund the murder of unborn children. Then you have the providers. And that's not just the guy chopping the baby up in the womb and throwing it into a sack. It includes all the people working at Planned Parenthood. And all the clinics, they call them. Abortion mills. Child abusers and killers. I believe there's a lot of people who would not repent and believe the gospel because you didn't know it, but they were abusing children. And you didn't know it, so you couldn't understand why wouldn't they repent and believe the gospel. It's because of that. I think that's kept a lot of people from turning to Christ. The fact is, if they'd repent and turn to Him, they can be forgiven. But a lot of them aren't repentant. They just don't want to get caught. And if they won't repent, they're not going to get saved. I said the kidnappers. It is absolutely amazing how many children go missing every year. Tens of thousands of known victims, and most of them are never found again. Yeah. And think, you know, we're not finding bodies out in the woods very often. That doesn't happen very often. So what's happened to these kids? And then you find out that there are these other, they take them to other countries. And they're used. They're slaves, sex slaves. False teachers. You say, what? Absolutely. You have public school teachers teaching children to reject God and to believe in Darwinian evolution. They would be better off having a millstone tied around their neck and cast into the sea than to be teaching that. But you also have teachers who, even in English class, are promoting the lies of Satan and pointing them away from God and God's Word and pushing them toward the sodomite lifestyle. All these teachers today who are a part of the public schools who push the LGBT movement. They put the pride flags up and everything else. Every one of them deserve to burn in hell.
Amen.
And that's the majority of public school teachers in this country right now. That's why I'm so sick of all the worship of teachers. Like there's some kind of priesthood. Who is it that tells you to do that? Birds of a feather. It's the same people lying to you on ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, those places. PBS, History Channel, a bunch of liars, a bunch of devils. And they want your children. Sodomite groomers. Those are the people fighting the bill in Florida, for example. Every person you know who is fighting that bill in Florida, they've told you everything you need to know about them. I don't care if it's your own mother. If they are supporting that bill as a devil with skin. But as I showed you, even pseudo-conservatives are going along with this. Folks, as Ben Franklin said, we better stick together. We'll either hang together or hang separately. Because they're coming after us at some point. They want the entire culture, and they want you and your children. Now's the time to fight while you still got a chance.
Yeah.
Now's the time to tick off everybody in your family, every chance you get when this subject comes up. Now's the time to do it. You don't wait till they're knocking at your door, ready to take you into a camp. Now's the time to fight. You remember we read a few weeks ago, Jesus said, I did not come to bring peace, but a division. And another place he said, and a sword. Why? That's what he's talking about right there. So Luke 17 verse 2, back to our text, we're going to close it out. Luke 17, verse 2. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. And I just want this to be a closing thought, is that justice will come. So, you should be angry about this. This should make you sick. It's disgusting. You should be doing what you can to fight it and to stand up for the children. But also, don't get carried away and try to take vengeance. God says vengeance belongs to Him.
Yeah.
Romans 13, 1-5 says that God has established the government to be ministers, and they are failing because a lot of them are involved in these same crimes. They're arresting people with the FBI, the CIA. They've arrested people on every part of your government involved in child sex crimes, child pornography, all that. So that's why Joe Biden has nominated this lady for the Supreme Court who's soft on child sex crimes.
Wow.
Go look it up. Josh Hawley, senator, has brought this up to everyone's attention, that when she has had people committing child sex crimes in front of her, she's gone below the standards set by the government for punishment.
Wow.
Well, her boss is a little perv.
Yeah.
The man who nominated her is a perv.
Yeah.
His son is a perv. That tells you what you need to know. I want to close over in Revelation 22. And I'll have you read the odd verses with me. So I'll begin in verse 12. Revelation 22, 12 through 17. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And yes, that means Jesus claimed to be God. Verse 14. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Amen. Many people will go to hell. Jesus said it was a few that'll go the straight and narrow and go to heaven. Many will go to hell. So don't be surprised with what you're seeing today. It's just more blatant than it's ever been.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be you. God did not elect anyone to hell. And He says, whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. And so that's why we will continue to preach, yes, we stand against unrighteousness, stand against the wickedness, take the right stand, but first and foremost is to offer the love of God to lost sinners, which can only be found by faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's our main task. That's why I don't care if I upset somebody by picking on one of their parties or their pet politicians or their whatever organization or whoever it is. Our stand is to be standing for what's right. Come what may, offend who we may. But we offer that message of forgiveness and salvation to all. And then, preach to them all and let God sort them out. Amen? So next study, we're going to look at repentance and forgiveness. That's where we pick up. If the Lord tarries and leaves us here. Amen?